Welcome to the Wolverine Digest Podcast, the best spot for objective and authentic coverage of Michigan athletics. If you want open dialogue, honest opinions, and in-depth coverage of the Maize and Blue, this is the podcast for you. And now, here's your host, Brandon Brown, joined as always by Chris Breiler.
Welcome back to another exciting week at the Wolverine Digest. We're a day behind. That's okay. We had a massive social media outage yesterday.
It was a meltdown. Worldwide. It was a meltdown. Well, I was melting down. We'll put it that
yeah,
way.
A lot of
people I was freaking out. I mean, everything I do is on Facebook and Instagram. So yeah. Not having those, like I told you, I felt like I was like, I didn't have my weapons. I felt naked almost. So it's good to have Chris, my clothes back on.
Chris was Amish yesterday for about 10 hours and now we're back.
I just started whittling wood with like a, what do you call those? What do you call those knives? The special knife, you know, it's got all the little trinkets in it. The Swiss Army knife. That's what it is. Yeah.
All right. So yeah, we were scheduled to go live last night and then without the, someone's in echo mode. We got issues already. Apparently.
Yeah. Is it me? Or
Chris, let us know in the comments there. We'll get that taken care of. But yeah, we were going to go live last night, and then obviously the outage was a problem. We didn't think Facebook was going to work, so we just decided to push it back to today. We're super excited, though. We do have a big-time guest coming on, David Ojabo, Big Ten Player of the Week. Three sacks, man, against Wisconsin. Incredible night for him. He'll be here as soon as possible. We're excited to have him on. Looking forward to talking to him. But he's in a meeting. He is in a meeting still, running a little long. And so as soon as he's here, we'll bring him in and we'll get started with our questions. And really looking forward to talking to David Ojabo about his game, his story, his background, a little bit of everything, man. It's really cool for me, since I used to cover recruiting. Like, I talked to David Ojabo. I think he was either a junior or just starting his senior year, but I talked to him at a Rivals camp. I remember, I don't believe he was committed at the time. I think he was just a Michigan target at that time, and kind of learning about his story back then, where he came from, how he became a high level football recruit. So I'm excited to talk to him about all that. So as soon as he's here, he will jump in here and we'll get going with him. But first we'll go ahead and get into, our predictions and our discussions from last week before we headed into the weekend, and not strong across the board. Chris, you predicted that it would be 31-24 in favor of Wisconsin.
I did.
I predicted that it would be 24-20 in favor of Wisconsin. Obviously, Michigan won 38-17, so we were both wrong in a big way, and I'm fine with it. I'm fine with it. I don't mind being wrong when Michigan gets a big win like that, looks impressive, moves up the charts, does some things that no other team has done against Wisconsin this year, etc. So I don't know. Is your ego damaged after being so wrong? Because mine's not.
No, not at all. I think, you know, when you look back on it, you base your prediction off of, you know, what you've experienced previously as a fan or as an analyst or somebody who watches the games closely. And that's all you can do. And like we said before, like even in the post game, like obviously you hope Michigan wins every game. Like if the guys in Vegas were just giving you odds and predictions based on their hopes and dreams, like that would be ridiculous, right? Like our job is to kind of look at the product and base our prediction and what we think is going to happen on what's happened previously. And so it was a pleasant surprise. I don't think anybody saw that coming from the Wolverines. I expected Wisconsin to be the bully on Saturday, and really Michigan played that role all afternoon. Even when it got tight there heading into the half, we talked about this a little bit. I never felt like Michigan was in jeopardy of losing the lead. It never felt like that game was going to slip away from Michigan. They had the momentum the entire time. They had the energy the entire time. And man, that was just a fun game to watch. It was a fun game to watch. It was fun to be there. Great atmosphere. Just enjoyed it.
Yeah, I mean, leading up to it, you know, I remember thinking most of the week, like, I think Wisconsin's going to get them. And then we had John McNamara from Rivals, who covers Wisconsin and has been covering Wisconsin for a really long time. He picked the Badgers to lose. And I remember that gave me a lot of pause I really thought, like, man, he knows the team certainly better than I do. And he thinks Michigan's going to come into Camp Randall and beat them, you know, something they hadn't done in a long time, five tries, 20 years, whatever, however you want to look at it. And I remember being really close to I was actually, it was going to be the same score, just switch the teams. It was going to be, I thought it would be really close. Yeah. I thought both teams would struggle to score points. I thought both teams' defenses would shut the running game down, and they pretty much did for the most part, really. I mean, there wasn't a lot of fireworks running the ball. Michigan certainly opened it up and did better passing the ball than they had, but I stuck with my guns. I stuck to my guns, and I picked Michigan to lose its first game of the season, and I was wrong, and I'm fine with that. Like I said, I was very, very impressed with how Michigan's defense played, how much they rattled Graham Mertz. I mean, knocked him out of the game, but he was shook before that. And Michigan's defense and offense, special teams, it was a three-phase game. Michigan won all three phases, and that's how you get a big win on the road. So specifically, let's take a look at these predictions that you threw together. What was it? We got in late. This was something that I normally put up. I didn't have time. I was doing the other stuff. So you tackled it this week. Your first prediction was that a Michigan running back would go over 100 yards. Neither of them even got to 50. So
combined, I think combined rushing, Michigan was over 100 yards. I'd have to look at the numbers, but I think
112 total yards, but 47 for Haskins, 46 for Corum.
You know what's amazing is that Michigan had as many yards on the ground rushing against Rutgers as it did against Wisconsin. If it was 112 yards, and I mean, you know, Wisconsin, we could see it, man. Even from the press box, those guys on the defensive line, the Badgers looked, or they were just huge defensive line, linebackers, secondary, they were all massive guys. And I don't know. I don't feel bad about being wrong. Like I said, I feel like I wanted them to win. And as soon as the game kicked off, you just kind of, everybody was like waiting for Wisconsin to wake up because everybody expected it to be a game. And this was going to be like the Badgers, like last gasp to try to salvage their season. And instead they just completely folded. And I don't know how much of that is a product of how bad Wisconsin is and how much of that is a product of how good Michigan is. But you and I said already that, you know, we moved the goalpost eventually, or initially it was going to be Washington, right? That was where we were going to make a determination on how good Michigan could be. Then the goalpost got moved to Wisconsin. After seeing that game, I think that this team, like I said before, has just as good of a shot to win the Big Ten title as anybody else this year.
Wisconsin might not be very good. They're not very good. I mean, I think that's fair. This is not the Wisconsin teams of the past recent, you know, 4, 5, 6 years, whatever, but I don't care. It's still a huge win. You go to Camp Randall, you shut them down, you knock the quarterback out, you knock another playmaker out and tight end Jake Ferguson. The defense handles the game. Punting game is working. I mean, it all was working. I mean, it wasn't super, super explosive in the running game, but as Jim Harbaugh said, you know, if you picked up 6, 7, 8 yards in that game, it felt like a big run. And they had a couple of those. They had some timely runs. They did some good things. I think Josh Gattis called a really good game. I think that might be the first time I've said that this year. It just worked.
Might be about it.
Yeah, it just worked. So you can't hate on that. I remember thinking that I had the biggest hang up with that prediction. I just, based on, you know, Wisconsin giving up like 20 yards rushing a game, I'm like, I know Michigan's pretty good at running the ball, but I do not think one guy gets to 100. And they did
go boldly into the future, Brandon.
That's right.
Boldly.
We talked about that on the drive. Like, we could throw layups out there. That's not really what the predictions are about. You try to go out on a limb a little bit, come up with something that you potentially see happening, but isn't super likely. It makes it a little more fun. Like the next one, right stat, wrong guy. Aiden Hutchinson gets 2 sacks. Well, our guest that we're going to have coming on here in a little bit, David Ojabo, got 3. I don't think, did Aiden have one? Did he have a sack?
He had a half sack. Ojabo had 2.5, and Hutchinson got credit for a half sack.
So there you go. So, obviously, that didn't happen, but Aiden has been playing out of his mind. Every time you jump on social media, you see another something about Aiden. Oh, he's up to number 2 on draft boards now. Oh, he's Pro Football Focus's best player in the country. Oh, he's leading this. He's leading that. You hear Jim Harbaugh just gush about the kid. You see him leading the charge in the locker room after the game, singing the cheers and the chants. He's just he's doing it all, man. He didn't come up with the 2 sacks like you thought, but, dude, he's been an animal.
Yeah. Well, and like you said, Ojabo was the one who actually got to eat all that, you know, eat all that quarterback on Saturday. And I figured the defense was going to go off because we had heard some things about, you know, just like the rest of the Wisconsin football team. They're not the Wisconsin that people are typically used to, but I've heard that they've really been struggling on the offensive line, given how successful Michigan's been and the guys that they have up front. I just expected it to be, you know, kind of a feasting day. And it was, I mean, they were like five or six total sacks or something like that on Saturday. Yeah, so they spent all afternoon in the backfield, and it was an impressive afternoon for Ojabo, that's for sure. And that's why we got him coming on.
That's right. Michigan gets a special teams touchdown. That didn't happen either. That's another one of those ones where you're like, AJ Henning has showed promise back there. Blake Corum has certainly showed promise returning kicks. It just doesn't happen very much. I don't know. You can't be too hung up on missing a prediction like that. But you thought they might pop one.
Yeah, I feel like if I was gambling and I was putting down a little bit of money, I'd put money on AJ Henning to take one back every week, just because he looks like he's always close to doing it every time he has the ball. So for AJ Henning, to me, it's not a matter of if he's going to take one back this year. It's just a matter of when. He's close all the time, every single time he has the ball in his hands, and he'll pop one sooner or later.
Absolutely. And then we don't need to spend a ton of time on this because that's what we led off with. But you thought Michigan would lose its first game of the season. Yep. They did not. They handled business. One by 21, actually, that's garbage touchdown at the end. They dominated. I mean, that was a 28-point win in my mind. You know, on the scoreboard, it's 21, but that late touchdown, they're not going to worry too much about that with a lot of second and third teamers in there. You know those guys want to keep them out of the end zone in that situation. But that's tough. You got freshmen in there. You've got guys in there who haven't played a lot. And, you know, Wisconsin's throwing everything they've got at you to try to get something on the board. You see that a lot. But, yeah, Michigan came up. Big, big win, like we said. I don't care if Wisconsin doesn't win a game the rest of the year. I mean, that's a monkey off the back. Michigan was an underdog. It was at Camp Randall. You're still trying to figure stuff out with your own team. Big, big win. No other way to look at it. And last but not least, I'll let you tackle this one because I don't know exactly what your parameters were, because I do think there are questions. But
yes.
Are there more questions than answers at this point? That I'm not sure about. There's always questions. But more than answers? I don't know. What do you think?
No, you mean when it comes to the quarterback position? No, I don't think there's more questions than answers. I think we have more answers than questions, but we have people that are just interpreting those answers differently, if that makes sense. Yeah. You know, there's a healthy appetite for people to want to see JJ McCarthy on the football field. I know he only had the one pass on Saturday, but it was one pass that went for 56 yards and a touchdown. And like we said before, JJ couldn't have walked that ball down to Daylen Baldwin and placed it in his hands any better. So you see these little things from JJ. And again, the problem with keeping him on the sideline is you wonder how many more of those spectacular plays are in the tank that we don't get to see just because he's not out on the field. And again, it's a tough thing because Cade McNamara is doing everything you want him to do. Not everything I want him to do, but I think he's doing everything the team wants and needs him to do. But you know, there is a legitimate concern to be made, like, okay, now we know Michigan's 5-0. We know this is a good team. Now we're starting to think of, like, how good can they be? And is Cade that guy that can get them to that place? And I think that's where there's a bit of a discrepancy. So is it a full-blown quarterback controversy? To be 5-0 in week five and to have this conversation going on, I would say, yeah, there is a legitimate controversy.
5-0, week five, ranked in the top 10. No turnovers, still no
calling for your job.
And he can't. Yeah. But I think the way you just put it is a really important distinction. It's like, this team is good. It's good with Cade McNamara, but anybody who watches football and has seen what JJ McCarthy can do and knows about him as a recruit and all that stuff, you can't help but be a little curious about, like, but could it be better with him?
Yeah.
Could it also be worse with him? Maybe he comes in and throws three picks the first time he steps out there, and Cade hasn't done that at all. I mean,
is this just a case of Michigan fans just being so typical? Your team's 5-0 and you're calling for the backup? Like, is that really what we're doing?
I actually don't think that's what it is, and I think even the Michigan coaches are a little bit on the fence. Yeah. They keep putting them out there. They keep having them wing 50-yard bombs when they're already up and the game's already at hand. They keep calling these running plays where you're trying to see what he's got athletically. So, no, I don't think this is specific to well, it, not just Michigan, every fan base, when a quarterback's not playing amazing, you want to see the backup. Like, that happens right. everywhere. It's been kind of a theme at Michigan. I don't know if it's every year at other places like it has been at Michigan over the last handful, but no, I think it's legitimate, because when you've got a high ceiling, big potential kind of guy like that, you can't help but wonder. And the example you can always go back to in recent memory is the Trevor Lawrence thing, because Clemson was really freaking good. I think they were just in the playoff or in the national title game the year before with Kelly Bryant. Yeah. He comes back as a starter, and 4 or 5 weeks in, whatever it was, they put him on the bench and they put Trevor Lawrence in there because he was just too damn good to be standing on the sidelines. And I think that's what's going to – I think that's kind of playing out with JJ a little bit. I mean – I don't know. We're not there. We don't see day in, day out practice, how he is with his teammates, how he is with the offense. You know, what's it look like with the chart? You know, they chart everything. Everything is a statistic. There's analytics for all of it. It's all part of the equation. We've seen him go 1 for 1 for 56 yards with one of the most beautiful throws I've ever seen on Saturday. We've seen his speed to the edge on a zone read keeper where he got 9 or 10 yards. We've seen little tiny bits and pieces.
Western Michigan, where he wings the ball across the field. Like to me, like, I think what Cade McNamara brings to the table is good enough to get Michigan 8-9 wins this year. But those extra things, those difference makers, I think that's what JJ has in his DNA. The fact that he will roll out and sling the ball across. Now, the counter argument to that is, well, sure, but that's also going to cost you some plays, and that's going to cost you some games. And that's the inherent risk you take on when you roll with a kid like JJ, is, and that's the risk for Harbaugh, is like, your team is 5-0. If you go ahead and make a switch, like, people have been questioning you your entire tenure at the University of Michigan. You're 5-0. Your team looks good. They look like they compete. You go and make a change now and it doesn't have the desired result, man, you know, coming off of all the contract negotiation and all that stuff. I think if you were going to go with JJ, the time to do it would have been within the first 4 weeks of the season. I think that you've gotten to the point now where you're heading into week 6 and you're about to go into the bye. I think it's ride or die with JJ, and I think it's, or I'm sorry, ride or die with Cade. And if something happens to Cade, we know we've got JJ, and he can step in and we won't lose a beat. I don't agree with it.
Well, I think if you ride with Cade one more week, another hostile environment on the road, get a win against Nebraska, go into the bye, a real nice release into the wild would be JJ at home against Northwestern. I don't know.
Unless Michigan loses that game, and then it's how, and then it's, you know.
I'll say this, Kate, to Scott, who is commenting. Cade has hit some nice deep throws, but he's underthrown some guys on some deep balls too, where you wonder, like, man, if JJ's in there with that hose, man, that might be a touchdown. You know, Roman Wilson comes back and makes a phenomenal play on the ball and goes up and catches one on somebody's head. With his speed, that might be a lead-in touchdown if somebody can throw it way out in front.
But there's no
throws. Cade has put it on the money. I mean, his throw on the flea flicker was on the money. You know, Cornelius Johnson walked right in and caught that one. So, you know, he had some nice throws on some third and fourth down conversions. There's been some nice throws out of Cade too. There's also been some bad throws. I mean, some behind guys, you know, skipping them in the dirt, and again, some of those underthrown deep balls. It's not been that bad, and he obviously hasn't thrown a pick yet, but, you know, you wonder. You can't help but wonder. I mean, if you're watching these games and seeing the little snapshots of what JJ can do, and you hear it, man. You hear it in the language when the coaches talk about the two guys. You know, we don't want to coach that out of JJ. He's got that in him. He's a difference maker. He's a gunslinger. And then they talk about Cade. It's like, we don't want him to make mistakes. He's smart. He's efficient. He moves the ball. He manages the game. It's just a very different dynamic when you're talking about those two guys. And I it's impossible not to wonder a little bit, but
sure.
I think it's really hard. It's really hard to make a change when you're winning and you're everything right now.
Right. And I think a lot of people take it as a negative, but really I think it speaks to just how much Michigan has going for it right now. I mean, they've got two guys that are very capable of apparently taking this team pretty far just based on what we've seen so far. So it's good problems for Michigan to have. It's not like we're searching for, like, my God, can anybody get the ball out there? Like, do we have any quarterback on the roster? We've got some talented guys. They'll sort it out. But hasn't it been fun? This has just been fun.
It's been pretty fun.
It's been a really fun year.
I got a fly in here. And we have a guest here. Mr. Big Ten Player of the Week.
There he is.
Ojabo.
What up?
David, how you doing, my man? Thanks for coming by.
Bless. Appreciate you for having me.
Absolutely. Well, I wanted to start off with a little intro, and I don't know if you remember this or not, David. I wear glasses all the time, so maybe I look a little familiar. I did an interview with you at a Rivals camp, and I think it was 2017, maybe 2018. I don't remember the year. I don't think you were committed to Michigan yet. I think you were just a target at that time, and I was kind of learning about you. I'm like, this kid's from Scotland. He played soccer. Like, what's he doing here? Did I read this right? He's a sprint champion. Like, there's no way. now you're doing what you're doing. I don't know if you remember that or not, but take me back a little bit to you got a really unique background. You are not the typical college football player. Where you were born, where you grew up, how you got to Michigan, just all of that, man. Lay it out for anybody who might not know, like, where you came from and what you're all about.
I mean, so I'm originally Nigerian, and I moved to Scotland when I was 7 years old. You know, played a variety of sports, went to an international school. So, you know, there's a lot of variety even from the people, you know what I'm saying? So I was in volleyball, baseball, you name it. And I just felt like my talents was, you know, above the competition that was in Scotland. So I, you know, me and my coach decided and linked up with some, just he had his connects in that. So he did his thing, and I ended up linking up with East Coast schools, which is why I found out about Blair Academy, which is why I ended up picking to go to high school. Now I got there, and, you know, I was in basketball, soccer. And, of course, I'm thinking next level. Like, I'm trying to get to college with it. So, you know, I just didn't get the looks or, you know, the high major D1 offers that I was, you know, praying and dreaming for. And I got into track, started running, just, you know, just trying to find anything, you know, make something work, because I didn't want to just come to, you know, America just to go back to Scotland, you know. Something had to happen. So, you know, track ended up going well. You know, I won the prep state champion, 100-meter sprint.
It's crazy.
You know, I just putting up good times. I think our 4x1 team actually had Odafe from the Ravens. Yeah. It was me, him, one guy in Georgia, his name Justice, and then one guy in Yale, Ekram. So, I mean, we was killing people out there. So we were just putting up just some crazy times. And they were seeing, of course, me and Odafe, and just we're big guys, you know, running that fast and running with actual track, like, athletes. Like, they're Georgia for track, Yale for track. So, like, what the hell? And so, like, and so pretty much, like, that's how his offers started coming. He was one of that. He paved the way, you know. I give him all credit. He paved the way. And, you know, I pretty much was like, I could do the same thing, you know, through coaches advising me and stuff. But I could do the same thing. And got into football. Obviously, a little hesitant because, you know, it's different football, basketball, you know, and all that. Football is a different animal. So, you know, I got into it a little slow start with the contact and all, but I feel like I'm picking up kind of quick.
I think it's working out. So, yeah. I don't know if you were going to go here next. I'll ask this and then we can jump over to you. So, was it like what? Was it 10th, 11th grade when football kind of started for you? And I guess when did you – I mean, dude, I don't know exactly how much you weighed when you were doing the track stuff, but you're 6'4", 6'5". You're 220, 230 probably at the time. Yeah. Dudes aren't really supposed to run like that. So I'm guessing football came pretty easy. But when did you start and when did you think, like, I never thought about it, but I think football is going to be my ticket to a D1 chance?
So I started junior year, and then when I got into it, played my first season – I ended up actually doing a repeat year at the same school. They showed love. Shout out Blair for that. And, you know, I ended up doing junior year again. And so pretty much just getting an extra football year under my – I can't just go senior year with only 1 year. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
1 year football experience. So I did that again. And then, you know, again, blew up, got my offers, and – and it took me a while. I feel when you get blindsided a couple times by people you would never expect could hit that hard, it kind of wakes you up. Like, okay, I got to, you know, get lower. You know, actually look at who's coming to hit me. You know, just stuff like that. And after probably, like, you know, by the second season, I was like, I think I think I got a hang of it, you know, before college, obviously. That's a whole different ball game. But by my second season, you know, going to senior, I was like, okay, I think I might have a clue what's going on.
Very, very cool story. Very, very cool story. I'll throw this up real quick. People are loving that story, man. One of the humblest people, David Ojabo, somebody's son's favorite player. So, yeah, it's cool, man. It's a cool background, and now you're killing it on the field too. So, Chris, I know you got a bunch of questions for him too.
Yeah. So, David, this is something that we do with all the players that we have on. We kind of go back and we look at, you know, your time at Michigan and kind of your development. And so you choose Michigan, you get to Ann Arbor, you don't really play your freshman year. I don't think you saw any action your freshman year.
No.
And then you go into your sophomore year and COVID hits. And, you know, everything is strange. And I think each player that we've spoken to was kind of impacted by it differently.
Yeah.
But I think you were impacted by it quite a bit differently than most people were. I know that you got stranded overseas back home. Can you just kind of tell people what that experience was like and how all that played out? I saw the hashtag Free Ojabo. That became a big movement. They were trying to get you back.
Yeah.
You're back. Thank God you made it back because we wouldn't see the amazing things we're seeing now. But how did all that happen?
So, I mean, I don't really go home often. Maybe if I'm lucky, twice a year, but usually just once a year. Go back, see my family, and, you know, COVID hit. So I had the decision of whether to stay in America and just pray, you know, it's a little 2 week, what's scary, and then I could go see my family. And so what I did is I have a host family here, so I actually went to go stay with them. And you know how it went. Day by day, it just got worse and worse and worse. So I was like, I mean, I'm at this point, I'm not seeing my family. So we got to pull the trigger quick. So I packed all my stuff for my host family and I shot back home. Cause I'm like, I need to see them before this gets worse.
Yeah.
Boom. Got home. When I tell you within the first couple of days, they're like, we're shutting everything down. I was like, okay, whatever. Again, I'm not even panicking. It's like, it's just a little pandemic.
It's a little year-long pandemic.
Yeah. Hey, it flipped to 3 months. From 3 weeks went like 3 months or 2 months, whatever it was. And at that point, I was like, okay, so like the world's actually shut down. Football's not going on. And then that transition to, okay, football is actually kind of starting up. We're starting training, but just working our way around it with the mass and the separation. So man, that's when it kind of hit home for me. Like, okay, it went from everything shut down to, okay, I'm missing out. Like, I'm actually missing out on training. So that's when I hopped on Zoom, I felt silly, but I started doing Zoom workouts with the computer like this, you know, pressing weights and doing planks and push-ups. And it's just, I just had that mindset, I got to do what I need to do, you know, because obviously it's just out of my control, but you know, it would be on me if I was back home and not doing anything. Then came back to my teammates who are doing stuff, and I'm 2 months behind, you know.
Yeah.
So I just made sure to lock in on, you know, every Zoom workout and, you know, just staying on top of my eating just so I'm not at least, you know, too far behind, you know what I'm saying? And, you know, it worked out for the best, though.
So what was it, the travel restriction that was lifted? Mm-hmm. Is that how you were able to come back? Okay.
Yeah. And then we worked through Michigan. I don't know all the details, but I think it ended up being lifted. But we were calling everybody, any flights and visa people and whatever. But yeah, we made it happen.
Yeah, because through all of that, I mean, they were letting people travel if it was like an emergency or they deemed it of the utmost importance. And that is kind of crazy to think about. I mean, like, you're certainly thinking, like, this is pretty important. I need to get back there. But, that's just really tricky. Well, I want to back up a little bit, too, because, again, I first saw you, I think, when you were a junior or senior in high school covering recruiting. And I know your recruitment was different because of all the things you explained. You started football late. You were from out of the country. I mean, it took some time for people to figure out who you were. Eventually you make it to Michigan. I'm going to ask you straight out. How good, I'll say how good or bad, how good or bad were you at football on a Michigan level? Because obviously in high school, you're big, you're strong, you're fast. Yeah. It's different from jump. But you got to Michigan. Grade yourself, man. How far behind did you feel? I mean, what was that like?
F minus. I mean, hey, the only thing that saved me, I won't lie, was my speed. You know, that my speed and my twitch, and you know, I could get off blocks just based off speed, but technique and weight and even just the mindset for contact, like, I was not there. I mean, as you would expect, but I mean, I won't even lie. That was the biggest blessing in my life. Just realizing, like, oh, I'm gonna be on scout team. Oh, I need to get better, and like, oh, I'm actually going against five NFL linemen. Who, I mean, they're all in the NFL right now. So yeah, looking back on it, it was the biggest blessing in my life. Just really like honing in on the scout team and getting better, so I could actually play. Like, I'm not good enough, you know. I need to get better.
Were there doubts? I mean, were you thinking like, I don't know if I can do this? I mean, I just wonder, that has to be a big jump. You hadn't been playing football for very long.
Yeah.
Far away from home. I mean, all that stuff has to factor in.
Yeah, that it creeped into my mind. But again, I just thought to myself, I didn't come all the way from Scotland just to go back. You know, something had to happen. You know, I already made it to Michigan. That's a little, you know, that's a plus. But
there you go, yeah.
You know, I couldn't just sit there. I didn't come here to sit. I was determined to get better, you know, make moves, you know. That year I ended up winning Scott Team Player of the Year, you know, because I dedicated myself to getting better. And I'm glad they noticed that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I got two questions here for you, and it's about your development now, mm-hmm. you know, since you've been at the University of Michigan for a little while. The first question I have is, I'm curious, you're obviously playing alongside of Aiden Hutchinson, who is an absolute animal. I mean, you know, every single week he's getting the recognition that he's put in the work to earn. And I'm curious, what has playing alongside somebody like that, how has that helped your career? What type of impact has a guy like Aiden Hutchinson had on your development?
Definitely just seeing somebody who, I mean, he's played in the big time games. You know, he knows what he's doing. He knows how to carry himself. And, you know, obviously he's about to be a first rounder, as we all know that. So, man, it just raises my level of play that much. You know, I'm trying to – he get one sack, I'm trying to get two. He get – you know what I'm saying? Like, that's in my head. I'm chasing because, again, like, if you see somebody who, you know, God willing, is a top five pick right in front of you, like, why wouldn't you want to, you know, try and chase that so you could be that, you know? So I just see it as an inspiration – as a motivator going forward. And we got a lot of dudes around, even people like Dax, who like high level guys who just kind of, yeah, oh, like he's doing good, why can't I, you know? And so I feel like that just raises all of our, you know, all of our level of competition, because, you know, we're just asking ourselves, why not us? You know what I'm saying? And it's helping us. It's good competition.
Yeah, and same question about Mike McDonald. You know, we heard from a lot of the players when he came in, they were excited about the new defensive scheme. Mm-hmm. They thought that it allowed them to really play to their strengths and what they mm-hmm. were good at naturally. Can you talk a little bit about or explain to the people out there how much of an impact Mike McDonald's new defensive scheme has had mm-hmm. on your development and your success early this year?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it just helps us be just like be who we are, just wreak havoc, you know, just stay on the edge. You know, sometimes dropping the coverage, but just do what we do. Speed, violence, smacking folks. Like, it complements all of our play. You know, Aiden, he does his thing, two-way go, whatever. I don't know how else to describe it, but it just complements us to the best of our ability, for real.
I wanted to ask you your answer. I didn't know you were going to go F minus. That's way down there. Now you're you know, 2.5 sacks at Camp yeah. Randall, making plays. I saw the spin move. I'm like, okay, he's figured some things out now. I mean, you've only been playing football like 5 years. Like, it's crazy to think about that. I guess, did you think you had this in you? What do you think now when you look back on film? I'm sure you know, the other D linemen, Aiden, the other guys, the coaches are like, look at Ojabo on that spin move right there. Like, he never would have done that a year ago or 2 years ago or whatever. Just where's your mind at now when you're having this success and you're being noticed on a national level at this point?
Man, it's all about just getting better. Cause I mean, when I came here, like you said, I would never have gotten an opportunity, but two, like I would never bust a spin move on a tackle just confidence wise. But
yeah,
I feel like just watching the likes of, you know, the Quiddy, the Uches, you know, the people that came before, like, I just pick from every little practice, some, you know, his pad level or his eyes or, you know, how he strikes somebody, just, and, you know, I just apply that to my game for real. And so I feel like that's how it helped my confidence, because obviously the more reps you get, the more comfortable you get, but also the more you pay attention, the more you can pick up. So I feel like just this last year, year and a half that I've just been really honed in and trying to get better. Like it's showing, you know, it's showing in my game.
And you've been successful with that spin move a couple times against some guys who project to play in the league. I mean, what's film room like when you focus in on that play? I don't know if it's Coach Newell or if it's Coach McDonald or whoever's talking about what's going on. What are they actually saying when you do those types of things and they're working as well?
Yeah, I mean it comes from practice, first of all. So like it's when it happens in the game, like I mean, not saying no one's surprised, but it's like we've seen that in practice. Yeah. So it's just like, okay, great execution. Way to see that quick, way to, you know what I'm saying? But yeah, everything is all from preparation, man. Like I'm not just going out there and like just spinning just to spin.
right.
Like, honestly, I'm seeing the way he's setting. I'm seeing what I've done before. Just it's all set up in preparation. So yeah, it's good vibes.
All right, so I've got an important question about Saturday. Obviously, you guys had a big day in Madison. But the people want to know, where were you exactly during jump around? Were you – I can't remember what was going on. It was crazy. I saw the players going nuts. Were you on the sideline? Were you on the field?
I was going nuts too. I was right there because we heard them start playing it, and we're like, there's no way. Like, they're literally losing and about to turn up too. So I bet – we'll join in too. We jump around. We started, we got our towels, water, and we joined in and then went back on the field, got that ball back. So, I mean, we like it's a tribute to our brotherhood, man, because, you know, stuff like that won't happen if we didn't trust that we could still have fun and go back out there and handle business, you know?
Yeah.
So, like, we're so tight knit and so close that. It's like, man, let's go out there and just do what we do, man. Just have fun doing it, too.
Yeah. I'm curious. We saw things tighten up. Like, you guys looked like you were in control for the vast majority of Saturday afternoon. But things did get a little bit tight headed into the half. Was there a particular moment in time where you guys knew you had that game sealed up? And when did that come? I mean, did it happen in the first half? Or were you guys going into the half still thinking you had a game on your hands?
I can't speak for everybody else, but I feel like we didn't really flinch because, we would have showed in our gameplay if we flinched after the half. Like, we went in there, we said, hey, man, like, we knew they're not a bad team. Adversity is going to hit, but it's how we're going to respond to adversity. And you see how we responded. We came out, we smacked them, jumped around their field, and went home. So, like, it's all preparation. We trust our coaches. We trust, you know, we just trust it all, man. We just go. All we have to do is go execute. Whatever they call, we go out there execute.
Well, you mentioned preparation a couple of times now, and the defense has been really good. There's been some bend but don't break moments. You know, teams get some yardage, but you keep them out of the end zone. Obviously, the big win on the road. You're holding specifically Wisconsin to their lowest output of the season when it comes to rushing the ball, and you're knocking the quarterback. I mean, it was just a lot of things have been working. I wonder, what are you thinking you still could be better at? I mean, what's the next, you know, is there a specific area, a specific thing, a specific thing you guys are talking about that we, you know, we need to do this better. We've been good, but if we get against a really good team or in a really tight game, we've got to be better here.
We got to take out that bend. We don't want to bend at all. You know what I'm saying? Because we know we won't fold, but we got to take out that bend and just stay consistent. You know what I'm saying? We can't afford in a tight game to like not have our eyes in the right place, because that might be a touchdown, you know, like it was in Wisconsin. But like it's the finer things, because we know we have the talent, we know we have the coaches. It's the finer things we got to tune up, just like every down, every play, just making sure we got our eyes in the right place, striking right, just do everybody, 11 people on the field doing their job. That's all it's all about.
It is amazing in football how one guy can slip just a little bit. And I'm sure the coaches point that out all the time. Both sides of the ball, special teams, it doesn't matter. A play can look terrible if one guy's not doing it. I wonder, you know, we know about the captains. We hear Aiden, we hear Josh Ross, we hear Brad Hawkins. Who are some other guys that are making sure you're on those? I mean, what kind of a role have you stepped in here as you're playing now and you're in your third year? Like, what's the collective voice of the defense when it comes to those finer details? Who's stepping up? Who's talking a lot?
We got the B Hawks, you know, like you said, Aiden, Jay Ross. Just the old heads, man. I just feel like, again, with the old brotherhood, this isn't like a whole fraternity where you got like the a hierarchy where, man, we're really a brotherhood. Obviously, the people who, you know, have earned their stripes, who speak more points, point more stuff out. But like, man, like if you see something bad, say something. That's what, see something, say something. That's really how we live. Like if somebody's taking a rep off, a freshman can tell me, it don't matter if I'm playing, starting, getting sacks. Hey, man, come on, like finish through the line or don't take that rep off. Like I'm not going to take it personal and be like, hey, man, shut up. You just a little kid. Because, like, again, that's what I'm saying. It's the brotherhood, man. Like, there really isn't a, like, who does this or who says that. Like, obviously, listen to the captains, but we all just got each other back, for real.
Yeah. I want to expand on that a little bit because obviously we've heard a lot about the brotherhood. We've heard a lot about the team chemistry and the vibe that you guys just have in the locker room. You know, when we were at Big Ten Media Days, Aiden Hutchinson said flat out, like something was missing in 2018 and 2019. Mm. Something was off. Mm. Obviously, you guys are a close-knit group. It seems like this is a special environment.
Yeah.
What do you attribute such a drastic difference from last year to this year to? Like, what was the biggest difference in the locker room from last year to this year?
Let me speak for myself. I feel like it's Coach Mack, what he brought in, like on the defensive side, now offense, you know, they handle that. But Coach Mack, man, like the way he just came in and he got all of our attention, we trust in him, we trust in his defense, we trust in his play calls. Like, this is like we don't have to question anything, you know what I'm saying? And all we have to do is just do everything 100% and trust in the guy next to us. So I feel like Coach Mack really came in and just instill that brotherhood from the start, you know. So I give credit to him personally, but I don't want to speak for no one else. You can ask someone else, but it's Coach Mack, man. He just came in and just said, hey, man, y'all trust me. Y'all trust the system. Y'all trust each other. We'll be unstoppable, simple. And that's literally what we're doing.
And we've heard from other guys that one of the biggest, I guess, the pleasant changes or differences this year has been it feels like more of a collaborative effort. Do you feel like you guys, like with the coaching staff, like you have more to say of what's going on, or there's more, I guess, dialogue occurring between the two sides versus one side just saying like, hey, this is what you're going to do. This is what we need you to do.
Yeah, it's major because, I mean, even on some calls, like you'd be like, hey, do you like how that sounds or like the audible of it? Because guess what? End of the day, we going to be the ones 100K deep trying to get the call. So, like, if it sounds good to them, like, cool. But, like, if it don't sound good to us and the people who have to receive it, that's a problem. So, like, that little back and forth that we have, and, man, it is a game changer because it's, like, as much as it's his defense, it's our defense. We're the ones out there doing it. And he gives us that power, you know what I'm saying? He, like, we have that relationship where it's, like, oh, man, I don't like the way this sounds. Or, oh, could we call this? Or you want to make this signal? Just that little back and forth where it's not like, go do this, go do that, go do this. It's like, yes, sir. It's like, he's literally explaining, hey, y'all got to do this because. And then, you know what I'm saying, if we got a question or we got to, you know what I'm saying? It's just interactive, man. It's a new wave, man. I love it. I love it.
I love it, yeah.
Yeah, we've heard that a lot. I think it maybe was Brad Hawkins who said it's much more conversational now rather than just sitting and listening to someone else talking. It's a lot of back and forth. I wonder, when did that happen? Because Mike McDonald he had never been a DC before. Mm. He's a young guy, very different from Don Brown from what we've heard. I just wonder if, like, the day he walked in, you felt it. Did it take a week of practice? Was it the first game? Like, when did you finally say, like, this dude – is on his stuff, he knows what's going on, and we're ready to roll with him?
I mean, again, let me speak for myself. Like, honestly, from day one, like, he's, like you said, he's young, he's cool, comical. You could tell, like, he's not just a football. Like, he want to interact with you. Like, if I talk to him, like, we're not only just talking about, like, A gap, B gap, C gap. Like, you know, sometimes we might talk about life. Sometimes we might talk about what I ate for lunch. You feel me? Like, it's really it's like we're in there as a family, man. This isn't just like football orientated. Like, when it's time to handle business, we do that. When it's time to kick back, we do that. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's a clear divide. And so I feel like because of that, like when we do come together, it's like, okay, I know I could trust that when it's time to work, we're going to work. When it's time to chill, we're going to chill. Again, it's all that trust, man. We built that off rip in my eyes.
Yeah.
I was going to say, if you got more questions or we can go to the fans.
Yeah, I think I just have one more. I think I think it's interesting. There was so much change on the defensive staff. The only guy who was back was your position coach, Sean Nua. That's part of what I was going to get into. Last year, I think you were more of a true DN type, and then the shift, now you're kind of this stand-up. I wonder how much crossover is there with Coach McDonald, Coach Nua, Coach Hilo, the linebackers, the DNs, the pass rush, the blitz, just all that. How does all that kind of mix in together?
This again, that's why it's almost magical how it works. Like, we're all just – it just works. Like, he talks to one group, but then this group is listening. You know what I'm saying? So, like, we're all just feeding off each other. But, of course, Noah's our main guy. He worked with our run, pass, all that. You know, Coach Hilo, he – because his linebackers have to fit off us sometimes. So, like, we're all just interacting with each other, and it just works. You know what I'm saying? So – yeah, the turnover wasn't too different, but it works. It works.
Yeah. All right, let's see. There were a couple questions, mostly just comments. Yeah. I mean, I'll throw a couple comments. I'm sure David will like him. He's a comedian out there. We want David to keep killing it, keep it going. Young man from Mr. Corum, he's always here, one of our favorites. So that's cool. Somebody was loving the spin move. Apparently, this guy said apparently you find his son after every game, maybe. I think he said.
That's my dog, yeah.
You specifically find his little guy after every game, so that's pretty cool. Somebody wanted to know, I think Coach Harbaugh might have said that Aiden was telling everybody to get in the weight room or something yesterday. What was that little story about?
Oh, I mean, that's Cap, man. He says something, we do it. Like, we're about to get in the weight room, getting some weights. We listen. Like I said, man, we're all a brotherhood. Like, there is no hierarchy. It's just like, come on, let's all get this work. Let's get better. Like, he's not going to ask us to do nothing that would jeopardize us. Like, let's go get better. I follow the leader. Let's go get better. You feel me?
I do. Yeah. It seems to be pretty obvious. I mean, again, we see a small snippet of it. You guys are the ones in there every day, but it's been a very consistent message. I mean, like we said, from the back, going from Big Ten media days with Josh Ross, Hassan Haskins, and Aiden, and then every media availability, everybody looks to be on the same page. And when you're 5-0 and number 9 in the country, it's, you know, the proof was kind of in the pudding at that point. I wanted to ask real quick, this is kind of a off-topic question a little bit with Michigan, still kind of football related, and you mentioned him earlier, and I, again, as a guy who covered recruiting, I knew him as Jason Owa, I don't know if I'm saying his name right. He goes by Adafe now. He's with the Ravens, and you guys have a similar background a little bit, not a lot of football experience. You guys both end up at Blair.
Yeah.
I wonder if you're still talking to him, and Michigan recruited him as well. He ended up going to Penn State. Now he's with the Ravens. I'm sure you guys were real tight when you were in high school. I wonder if there's still communication now. And you mentioned that you learned a lot from guys like Aiden and Quiddy and Duce. And maybe he was in that mix too, even before you got to Michigan. I just want to speak about him a little bit, because I think both of your stories are pretty cool. And now he's doing really well with the Ravens.
Yeah, that's my brother. I mean, we text, you know, every other week. I was just on the phone a couple days with him and a couple days ago. That's my dude, and I even asked some questions to this day on pass rush tips. I'm just trying to pick knowledge, you know, pick people's brains who are at the highest level. You know what I'm saying? And I mean, we played literally right beside each other on the line in high school, so like, he's no stranger. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's not like now he made it, he forgot about me. we were talking while we're in college. You know, now he's in the league. We're still talking. You know. Man, I don't know if I've told him this, but I appreciate him a lot. You know what I'm saying? Because if he didn't do it, who would have known? Who would have known about me? You know, or who would have said I would have taken a chance? So, like, a lot of credit to him, man. I really appreciate him. That's my brother, and yeah, we keep in touch, man. And he gives me a lot of advice.
Who's faster? He's kind of a freak show too when it comes to running. You guys are on that track team.
Ask him. He knows. I got that pull away speed, but hey, his 40 is crazy. But
yeah,
under me, I'm gonna have to leave him. But
yeah, he's having a great rookie season too. So that's really cool. Again, covering recruiting is cool, man. I learned about you guys when you're just young pups, and now, like you said, making it to the league, it's always fun to see. And yes, I mean, dude, you keep putting 2.5 sack games out there. You talk about Aiden being a first rounder. I think you might be thinking about that a little bit too. All right, Chris, let's get into the goofy stuff. We got a few.
All right, here we go. We got a few questions for you. We're gonna make it go real quick here, but this is the real stuff that the people care about. Brandon, I don't know if you've got the music back there, but this is the stuff that people they'll just get a sense of who the real David Ojabo is. So we'll get.
Did we have music for this? I feel like we did.
There's some sort of There we go. Perfect. All right, David Ojabo. The people want to know, we've seen what you can do on Saturdays, but I want to know what you do when you go to the grocery store. So when you're grocery shopping and you're filling up your cart and then you get everything you need and you take it out to the car and you unload, what do you do with the cart afterwards?
I put it back.
There we go.
I put it back.
I don't understand people that don't. Like what kind of person does that?
People who leave the cart in the parking spot or out in the middle are... scum of the earth is a little
like in the parking spot, and like when I'm going to shop now, I got to get out of my car and move it out of the way.
That's so I can crazy. Put my car. I'll never do that. That's crazy.
See, right there. Now, there's already another reason to like David Ojabo that you didn't know out there.
Stand up guy, David Ojabo.
Question number two. So, we've asked all the players that have been on, and they all have one. David Ojabo, what is your guilty pleasure song? There's got to be a song you're listening to. The radio in the car, it comes on. You like it, but you don't want your boys to know you like it. What is it?
Probably Billie Eilish, Ocean Eyes.
That's a great song.
That's not on the pregame. That's not on the pregame tracks, though, is it? You're not listening to that.
None of that. I need to be in the zone. But if that comes on, I'll sing a little bit.
All right, because your boy Blake Corum said he was listening to Love Music after the game. So I don't know if you know that, but you might want to check his headset after the game.
I'll get on to that.
All right, Mr. Ojabo, the next question we got for you is, what is the last TV show that you binge watched?
TV show? I'm on Netflix for real. I don't know about TV show.
Yeah, what are you binge watching on Netflix? What's out there?
Money Heist right now. Heist is, you can't miss with Money Heist. And everybody probably on this, but Squid Game.
Yeah, I'm like six episodes on that.
Yeah.
Now wait a minute. Isn't Money Heist the one where the English is dubbed over it? Right. It is. Okay.
It's a Spanish show, and they go rob a bank and all that.
I struggle with that. It gets in my head because I'm trying to follow the lips. Yeah.
English also dubbed over Squid Game too, which I didn't know, but I thought it was going to bother me, but that's got me roped in right now. Yeah, it's got me roped in right now.
All right, Mr. Ojabo, final question for you. What's your go-to meal? What do you like to eat here in Michigan?
Man, I won't even lie. I got a Chipotle right by the mall. I'm there probably like four times a week.
You got that frequent flyer card?
Yeah, I'm there.
Do I hear an NIL deal from
Chipotle? Actually, say something. Daniel, international players can't get NIL deals.
Wait. Like,
really?
Yes, that's a fun fact for y'all. They can't.
Did not know that.
Wait, hold up. Wait, where's the record scratch?
What's the reason for that? I never heard of that before.
You got to ask the higher-ups, all that. But me and my teammate Julius Juice Welshkoff, the German.
Yeah.
Nothing. No money. What? No deals.
No. We gotta dig into that. We gotta find out what is that.
Okay, so confirm this. Yeah. Somebody's commented about the fly that keeps landing on my damn head. So apparently, somebody tried to get an Ojabo jersey and couldn't do it.
That's unreal.
So it don't matter how big I get or NIL, I can't make no money, man.
Well, that is – I never heard of that.
Never heard that about it.
International student problems, man.
I think every team in the country probably has a few kids from out of the country. Mm-hmm. But I never heard of that. Well, I'm going to do some digging on that because certainly some people at Michigan would be able to answer the question about why that is or what's going on with that. Now people are we're gonna step into some territory I didn't really know I wanted to get into. People
are me.
That's allowed either.
I'll take care of you. We'll take care of you. Don't worry.
But anyway, David Ojabo, man, thank you so much for the time. Much success. Stay healthy. Keep getting after it. People are loving watching you. As a side note,
go ahead. Dave, I wanted to let you got that weird text message from me the other night that didn't make any sense. My son wanted to tell you that was him. He was messing around on my phone.
I was just about to close out with saying people are loving seeing that 55 jersey out there.
Yeah.
I wanted to ask about that and I forgot to write it down. The number switch. What was the story behind? Because I think you wore 71.
Firstly,
I just want to put this out there. Like, I didn't pick 71. Like, again, I'm new to football. I didn't really know slash care about what number. So my coach, Sailor, it was his old number, actually.
Okay.
He gave me 71. I was like, right, whatever. And I got to college and people were clowning me. How you
71, not one of the
most. I was DM when I was 71. I'm like, what are you talking about?
It's not very saucy.
Yeah, at all. And so I figured it out quick and I was like, okay. Got to switch, and you know,
that double nickel. That looks good.
Double nickel, man. Frank Clark, Chandler Jones. I watched him a lot, so I went with it, man.
I like that. That's fun. That is a funny story.
Yeah.
That's how it goes when there's like a good freshman who's up on varsity in high school. Yeah. Like he's on the team, but you know he's not getting a nice jersey. And that's that man. They did Ojabo with the 71 because he
did him dirty. Like
this scrub from Scotland, man. Let's go to the 71 real quick.
Not even, bro. That
is so funny. Well, thanks so much, David, for coming by. Man, we really appreciate the time and hustling over here after your meeting again. Yeah. Stay healthy.
Yes,
keep getting after it. People are big fans of the 55 now, not the 71. So thanks so much for the time, man. Appreciate it.
Yes, sir.
All right. Well, there you have it. David Ojabo, man. That was fun.
Ojabo.
That was fun. A lot of people in the comments were talking about how, they're like, oh, I didn't know he was funny and he's a comedian and listen to his answer. So that was really good, man. Like I said, I remember talking to him when he was in high school and just, I mean, at that point he was really like just figuring football out. You could see the athleticism, obviously the size, the way he ran, his length, all that was there, but he just didn't know football yet. I knew for a fact, because that was the billing on him, you know, coming up, was that this dude has so much potential, but he's really just still figuring it out. And I think it's so funny that he gave himself an F minus as a freshman at Michigan. I don't
know
if I'm
weird. Going. Like, we're sitting there and we're listening to like him talk about his recruitment. He's like, well, nobody was recruiting me and I didn't know what I was doing. And then you watch him now on Saturdays and you're like, how is that the same person? How is that the same person? And it just feels like Michigan, you know, for I guess all of the hangups that we have about the quarterback position or some of the recruiting stuff, they are finding guys like David Ojabo, Quiddy Pay, Aiden. I mean, they are pumping out some elite defensive talent, and you can't ignore that.
Yeah, it's I mean, dude.
And
yeah,
I think he's next in line. I think he's next in line.
You read about his story, you know, being born in Nigeria, moving to Scotland when he was a youngster, just playing football, you know, starting in 11th grade. And I think at the time he was a little lighter. I don't know. He's probably 6'5", 230 or something, winning the state championship in the 100.
Dragstar?
What?
That's terrifying.
Yeah, like,
that's terrifying.
That's crazy. And again, like I mentioned, I knew him as Jason Owa or Owe. He goes by Adafe now. I mean, I remember thinking like, okay, you've got these two guys playing DN for a place like Blair Academy. How does the other team ever throw a pass, honestly? And I don't know. I haven't looked at their specific stats, but obviously one's in the league and one might be on the way. So pretty impressive. Really good stuff from David there. That was fun. Continue to enjoy these player interviews that we get with these guys. And
And shout out to James Corum for always being active in the comments.
Yeah, how about James Corum?
We love having you here, man. It's always a pleasure.
Well, one of the next times we get Blake on, we'll have to get his pops on too.
It's going to be the dual football feud. That's. I mean, you know, you talk about Penn State, Michigan State, Ohio State. I think what people really want to see is Blake Corum versus Dad in football feud. That's the matchup.
Well, that was really good timing, actually, because we had just finished up with the revisiting the predictions and the scores. We were just about to move into a new segment, and then David jumped in there. So we'll jump back into one of it's quickly become a fan favorite, Chris. I don't know if you know this, but we
which
are.
Which one? There's so many.
This f***ing guy.
You know, know people are loving this one.
This f***ing guy.
Okay.
We got a few.
We do. We got a few.
I'm going to say us. First of all,
you want to take it? You want to start?
This fucking guy.
Brandon Brown, Chris Breiler.
This fucking guy.
For picking Michigan to lose on Saturday. And look, we weren't alone, but with the way that looked, we couldn't have been more wrong. I mean, again, a 21-point win, it was really like 28. And, I mean, it was essentially a toss-up for odds makers as well. It wasn't like, you know, there was a lot of people picking Michigan to win by even a touchdown, let alone three scores or four scores with how it looked late in the fourth quarter. So, like I said, look, when I'm wrong, I'm wrong, dude. I'm not going to try to defend it and be like, yeah, well, Wisconsin's not. No, that was a huge win. And Michigan's rolling their 5-0. We both said on the way home, we're TFGs this week. It is what it is. I'll own it.
It is what it is.
This music is perfect for this stupid fly.
Well, now I totally forgot. What the hell are we even talking about right
TFG.
Now? TFG. Okay, right, TFG. Okay, so, yeah, fine. I'm a TFG. I was wrong about what was going to happen. Here's what happened. I got significant PTSD when I saw the second half against Rutgers. And in my mind, I'm thinking, here we go. Same old Michigan. Wisconsin's only going to be that much more difficult. And lo and behold, they go into Madison. And like I said before that game, I thought if Michigan walked out with a W, it was going to prove that all of that offseason talk we heard about culture and energy and brother. I'm giving a heartfelt take here. And you're keep going.
Do you want me to, I'll do take the floor. Take the floor.
Brotherhood and culture. And, you know, I thought if they went into Wisconsin or walked into Madison and came out with a W, that was going to give validity to all that offseason chatter that we heard. And they did that. And then some, you might have predicted that Michigan was going to go in and win, but you didn't think it was going to look like that. Nobody thought it was going to look like that unless you were hoping it would look like that. So
I was looking through my soundboard.
I was wrong.
My soundboard right there. I was looking through my soundboard right there for your speech. I was looking for Sarah McLachlan, but I didn't have any.
In the arms of the angel. Is that the one? Arms of the angel?
That was pretty good. All right.
This fucking guy.
Bigger TFG than you and me.
I already Urban know who Meyer. It is.
Urban freaking Meyer. Hey, Urban, can you get through those jeans? No, you can't. But you're going to try checking just the oil at the bar.
Booty clapping and grinding.
Holy shnikes. What is this guy doing? We were talking, so I think this started coming across the waves right when we got on the road, right? And you're scrolling through your phone and I'm like, dude, there's no way that's him. There's no way.
Yeah.
Lo and behold, it's him. He's doing the most. I said it when we're leaving. I'm like, you or I can't go do that. What is Urban Meyer thinking that he can just go to a random bar in Ohio and try to start?
You know what?
I can't whistle very good, but he's checking oil. He's using the dipstick. He's out there, bro. He is out there.
You know what Urban Meyer is? Urban Meyer is proof that you can be a terrible human being who makes terrible decisions over and over, and it's okay as long as you win championships. Because the dude, like, he's a college football legend. And I think Harbaugh even came out with something not too long ago and said something like, you see his track record or what he leaves in his wake, and he's just that guy. And this is no surprise. Like, this is just the latest Urban Meyer thing. He's a bad person. He's a good football coach. And those two – I'm getting messages about the fly.
This is a battle. This music is just, at least good for what
should
we
just cut all discussion and just kind of watch this battle play out and see where it finishes?
Like, he's – oh my God, there's two of them now. Dude, why are there flies in my basement right now?
You know, don't ask your haters because they might give you a reason.
Well,
listen. I forgot what we were talking about again.
Urban Meyer.
No, it's really well, weird. Urban Meyer, terrible person, awful person, good football coach, good college football coach.
He's out there at the bar looking like Bernie during Weekend at Bernie's. Just
now, wait a minute, hold on. Now, do you give any validity or any credence to the idea or the rumor or the speculation that this was all just a plot to get himself out of Jacksonville, create some controversy? You know, he cooked it up with his wife. He said, "Hey, I'm going to go and do this. I want to get the hell out of here. USC's open. I got to get out to the West Coast. We got to get out to the West Coast. Suntans, California sunshine." Or was it just Urban being Urban?
I don't think so, but I wouldn't – if that was proven at a later date, I'd be like, yeah, that tracks. Fine.
I wouldn't – that is the perfect way to put it. I don't think that's the case, but if it came out a month from now, right,
yeah.
I would say, oh, okay, yeah.
I think this is him just being a sleazeball, and that also tracks. But if they somehow prove, like, we have correspondence between him and his wife, here's the text messages, like, I'd be like, yeah, all right, that – Totally believe it. Totally believe it. What a guy, man. What a guy. Just send your sons off to spend time with that guy.
Just what a role model. Clapping cheeks in the bar where, like, you know there's phones everywhere. Like, you're Urban Meyer. I don't know.
What a tool bag. All right, God, so we're a little bit over an hour in. Do we want to save burning questions until – are we going to go tomorrow? We're going to try to get back on the schedule tomorrow and go Tuesday, Wednesday, Friday. What do you think? We're an hour and 4 minutes in. We've got burning questions. That segment can take some time. So I'm just wondering if we want to
– It can take some time. Let's call it a show. We'll bring burning questions in. I mean, it was the internet, right? The whole internet was on the fritz on Monday, so it's not our fault. We're just trying to
– Yeah, no. I just want to – I think 45 minutes to an hour is a good length for a pod. Any longer than that, I feel like you start to lose a little bit. I don't know. We've got some people saying, let's keep it going, but – I'm a little parched. I'd like to get a drink. I'd like to kill these damn flies. I'd like to eat a snack, maybe some potato chips.
You just need to get yourself together over there. Whatever you got going on.
You have 40 seconds to tell the people about the old German man in Wisconsin. Go.
Didn't we already tell them about him? Okay, well, I'll give you the short version. He was an awful human being.
We did on the drive home. You're right. But real quick. For
terrible human being. He was a bigot. I'm pretty sure he was a racist, and he might have been a Nazi sympathizer. So welcome to Wisconsin. Welcome to Wisconsin. 94-year-old terrifying man.
If you had to have someone babysit your kids, though, German guy, Urban Meyer.
I'm going Herbs. I'm going Herbs.
All right. German guy was scary. There you have it. Shout out to David Ojabo, man. What a guest. Man, what a storyteller. What a background. Yeah. What a player. What a player, man. I think he's just scratching the surface on how good he's going
to
be. The athletic gifts are there. He's going
to
be really, really good. And opposite Aiden Hutchinson means you can't double team him. Right. You gotta try to figure both of those guys out with a tackle and maybe a chip from the back, but that's about it. Really excited about the rest of this week. We're pumped about Nebraska. We won't be there. Our first game of the year where we'll be watching from the couch, but we'll talk a little bit. Yeah, man, not the worst place to be. We'll be talking more about the Huskers tomorrow, and then we'll try to get back on regular track. We'll do Tuesday, Wednesday, Friday this week. Thanks for listening, everybody.